Welcome to this interview. I'm Megan Gibson, your conference co-host. Today, I'm speaking with Deanna Hansen, a pioneer in the field of fascia decompression for physical and emotional transformation. With more than 20 years of hands-on clinical experience, Deanna created Block Therapy, a unique fascia release protocol to relieve chronic pain and disease, encourage healthy detoxification, release emotional blocks, and reverse cellular aging. Thank you so much for being with us today, Deanna.
Thank you so much, Megan, for having me. It's a true pleasure to be here, and I'm very excited to share my information with your community.
So I know most people, I think by now, sorry if I'm insulting anybody that doesn't, know the connection between the brain and the body and that we're not disconnected and it's all tied together. And so I understand that your work started with your own anxiety attack and how you, that was how you came to learn about fascia. So I would love it if you could tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So back in my 20s, I was training to be an athletic therapist. So I was working with elite athletes, learning how to be what I thought was healthy, but really just being fit. And yet all the work that I was doing was taking me in the opposite direction. I was 50 pounds overweight, struggling with anxiety, depression, chronic pain. The harder that I was working in my body, the worse I was becoming. So that in itself brought up a huge amount of anxiety because I'm doing the work. I'm in the gym, I'm working out, and I see the bodies and I understand the physiology as that's my training. Yet my body was just like saying, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna play this game with you. It's like the rules of weight loss didn't apply for me. And then not only that, it just brought up so many other challenges in my life. So at the age of 30, I made some big changes in my life. And one of those, well, not one, that change resulted from me having a severe anxiety attack. In the moment, I actually thought I was going to die. I was so riddled with fear. I was locked away. I couldn't catch my breath. For some reason, I intuitively dove my hand into my abdomen. And the first thing that I encountered was pain, but this was really interesting because the pain brought me out of my craziness. It brought me into my body. And then I'm like, okay, I'm breathing. I'm going to survive. But then I continued to intuitively explore in the tissue. And what I felt under my fingertips was scar tissue marbled throughout. Now, this is where it got really interesting for me because as a body worker, I'm an athletic therapist by training, but I always focused on deep tissue work. And I had a really strong practice because I had good, strong hands. I knew how to locate scar tissue and bodies and work it. But I never touched my own belly, because this was where I stored the majority of my size. I was very ashamed about it. So now here I'm diving into this space and I'm feeling under my fingertips what felt like scar tissue marbled throughout, even though I hadn't had injury or surgery. So suddenly I had this aha moment, like, well, no wonder when I'm coming home from a 5-mile run dripping wet with sweat, my belly still feels cold. So for that first evening, for about 30, 45 minutes, I was just intuitively exploring with my hands. But what was so impactful was how calm I felt. Like, this was not my norm. I was just a stress mess 24/7. Now I'm here and I'm feeling calm and I'm thinking, wow, okay. So that in itself was a game changer. Went to bed, woke up in the morning. My abdomen was a little tender from what I had done, but what was so impactful was all day long, I'm working with my patients and I still felt calm. So now I'm like thinking, okay, I got to get home. I got to go back in. I got to like uncover more. So after the second evening of me doing this same work, when I stood up, I felt taller. And then I went and I looked at myself in the mirror and I began crying because my belly was flatter than it had looked in years. So now here's another reason that I want to keep doing this. So every day after I would work all day, I would come home and I would explore in my body. And within 2 weeks, my chronic low back pain was going away. I was feeling hopeful and excited about life for the first time in a very long time. And that was 25 years ago. And that was the seed of everything to come. And that's how my journey began, from an anxiety attack.
Mm. And for people at home, because, you know, I'm listening and I'm thinking people are listening like I am, and they're thinking, you know, I want to start this work and this sounds really interesting, but most of us don't have the training that you had when this occurred. So how do we bring that to our own lives? You know, even if I did dig my fingers into my abdomen, I don't know what I'm feeling, unfortunately, right? So like, where do we begin with this work and how can we apply it at home without that kind of an education?
So it's really about understanding this beautiful system called the fascia. So we have trillions of cells in the body, and every cell is interconnected through the fascia system. And whether we're talking skin, bone, muscle, organ, blood vessel, nerve fiber, all of it is interconnected by the fascia system. It's almost like the, not almost, the cell membrane of every cell is interconnected to every other cell through the system. So, first of all, if I could just kind of give a little bit of insight about fascia before I dive into
Please,
your.
please do. Yeah.
So one of the goals of the fascia is that we keep and support every cell in proper alignment, because if that's the case, we have space. And this is the key to the whole system that we've developed, is space in and around the cell allows for ease of absorption of nutrients in, as well as ease of waste, carbon dioxide, negative emotion to be taken away. And as long as there's space, there's ease of flow. As long as there's ease of flow, there's no stress, there's no pain, there's no reason for the cell to give us signals to pay attention, because they're getting what they need. It's when they don't get what they need that they start to give us little signals. So when I started putting my hand into my abdomen, the first thing that I recognized was I had decreased in my internal space. I had compressed. So as I'm going through this whole journey, it's starting to really make sense to me as I'm unraveling what's happening. Over time, gravity is constantly pulling us down toward the earth, and we're dominant on one side. So we don't just compress in a linear fashion. We literally spiral down one direction or the other. So now the fascia has to understand, well, what do I do with this? Because I'm here to support cell alignment. So if the body, the mind, the person isn't helping me support this, there has to be some kind of shifting and change that occurs. So as I start falling out of alignment, the collagen component of the fascia. So fascia is basically comprised of collagen and elastin. The two create a perfect equilibrium, so we have mobility, but also stability. So as I start tipping off balance because I'm not conscious of my breath, I'm not conscious of posture, the collagen component of the fascia starts migrating to build false walls and false floors, basically, like to stop me from tipping over. There has to be something taking that place. Otherwise, I'm going to land on my face. So the collagen, though, as it starts to stack together and intertangle, it creates, like scar tissue from injury or surgery, blocks to blood and oxygen flow, as well as blocks to allowing the space to be clean. So basically, cells become starved and dirty, and they're unhappy about that. So the work that we do is designed to go in the opposite direction, fascia decompression. So over time, we compress. Pain, aging, dis-ease, and ultimately death really come from compression over time. So as we're going through this process of fascia decompression, we're putting the space back into the body that time has taken away. So I'm just going to share the tool that we use, the self-care tool. So, and you can use a rolled up towel and get very wonderful benefits, but we use, this is called the Block Buddy. We actually have two sizes, and the Block Baby. So the first thing that we always do in every single class is we lie, unless you're pregnant, we lie on the tool right on the belly button. So as we're lying there, what's happening, just like what my hand did when I was unconsciously just kind of diving in, not really knowing what I was doing at the time, but the work, as you lie on the tool over time, it creates pressure. Pressure creates heat. And then the combination of instructing people to properly breathe diaphragmatically, that turns on the parasympathetic nervous system. So that was the thing that I really understood when I was having this anxiety attack, because I wasn't breathing. So now I've put pressure into the space. It has connected me to the breath. So now I'm breathing. So then the combination of that pressure plus the breath took me out of my crazy, and it brought me into my body. So that's one thing that we can all do right away. And for some people, if it's too painful to lie on a rolled up towel on your belly, and we have lots and lots of videos to share this for free on our YouTube channel, you can simply lie on your back and you can place, say, a hardcover book right on your abdomen, and you can put some pressure with your hands into that space. And then when we're breathing properly, the belly should rise. When we exhale, it should fall. When I was young, I was a Highland dancer, and I was constantly told, hold your belly in, hold your belly in. So if I'm holding my belly in, I can't be breathing with my diaphragm properly, because the abdominal muscles need to extend with the inhale and contract with the exhale. So now I'm holding this in. So the upper chest breath becomes the fallout breathing pattern for this. But that in itself creates crazy amounts of anxiety because now we're starving our body. The upper chest breath is like a space heater compared to the diaphragm being like the body's furnace. It's not strong enough to heat the body, to energize the body, to do all the functions that our body is designed to do to allow us to thrive. So, adding pressure into the body with breath is a beautiful way to connect to your parasympathetic nervous system to create heat and energy into any particular space and to calm down just those negative emotions.
So interesting. So many things that you said that I want to follow up with. But I think, a lot, again, a lot of people listening can relate. I remember when I got pregnant with my first child, that was the first time in my entire memory of my entire life that I was not sucking in my stomach just from like social programming, right?
Yes.
Like I wasn't a Highland dancer. I just wanted to look thin, right? And I was like, oh, I can relax now because it's socially acceptable for me to have a large belly because I'm carrying a child and it will be celebrated. But I was also like, well, that's really messed up though. Why was I holding my stomach in for, 30 years? Like, it's just unimaginable to me that I lived like that and wasn't even conscious of it. And so something as simple as what you're talking about, and I love that you talk to kind of all abilities in that, like, even if you couldn't lay on your stomach, maybe you've got some sort of, surgical scar or other issue that would prevent you from doing that. That you can also lay on your back and apply the pressure, and that the pressure is going to create heat and attention to move things. And I would love it if you ex also explained, like, because people might not know they have fascia. So you explained what it is and that it's collagen and elastin and kind of the way it works. But what does it actually look like in the body? Where do we find it? I've heard the like the chicken breast example that is what fascia looks like. So it, for somebody who hasn't seen it or heard of it before, where do you find it in the body?
Well, and that's the challenging thing because really it's the holder of the space. So it's everywhere, it's riddled throughout, but it's you'll see it as the cell membrane. And again, this is it. Like, let's say we're perfectly aligned. Nobody is, nobody ever will be on this planet, but let's say we are. So we've got the cell, we've got space inside the cell, around the cell. Here's another cell, here's another cell. So it's the membrane of all the cells that are the fascia connecting all the other cells. So you can see it on electron microscopes when they start peeling things away, because what they're showing when they start peeling things away is how it compresses. Think of an egg, for example, an eggshell. When the egg is intact, you've got everything inside and you've got the egg, but you break the eggshell is basically the fascia. So once the egg breaks, then the yolk and everything else comes out, but now here's what's left is the container, this hard, brittle thing. But when it's over here, it's an egg. So that's really what it is. So to try to get a visual, that's a fun picture to try to get, because what we're actually viewing when in correct alignment is we're seeing nothing, we're seeing space.
I like that. And I assume, that all of the systems, like you were saying, when you were describing kind of your anxiety attack, that there was no space. How does that impact other places in our body? Like you talked about your abdomen and your chest, but I can think of like the back. You mentioned your lower back when it was happening, even the hips, places that we know that anxiety and trauma get stored and where tightness occurs. What's the role of fascia in that, and how do we use the Block Buddy to release it?
Oh, that's a great question. And so we teach that there's cause sites to the pain or issue sites. So whenever I'm looking at a body, I'm always first looking at what is going on in the limbs. The limbs are the puppet masters for the core. So if we have issues in our body, whether it's pain, whether it's issues with gut health or anxiety, trauma, all of those things, everything comes down to how we are stacked. So we're like a building. If we look at the body in proper alignment, the feet should be underneath the hips. Everything should be properly aligned. And if that's the case, again, we're supporting proper cell alignment. That lower body alignment allows the room for the diaphragm. And the diaphragm is really the key. I'm just going to bring my camera down for a second because
Yeah,
I
go
think this
ahead.
will give people a really good visual. So the diaphragm is this muscle right here. It's the foundation of the rib cage. When it's working properly, when we inhale, it moves down. When we exhale, it lifts. And when it's working, it's constantly doing this, creating an internal massage to all of the organs. Also, when we're conscious breathers, it's strong. So it's supporting the weight of everything above. Now, what happens is pain, fear, and stress causes us to reactively hold the breath. And then we start breathing through the muscles of the upper chest. So if we continue to breathe through the muscles of the upper chest, this foundation becomes weak. And this is what happens. So now think of the person always holding their belly in because they want a flat belly. But as this weakens, weakens, weakens over time, collapse, 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 collapse. So the tissue here has to go somewhere and it's going to go out. So I can't possibly hold my belly in. So I get older and I'm thinking, okay, like I'm doing the same thing. I'm eating the same diet. I'm working out the same. But as I'm getting older now, I'm getting the spare tire. That in itself is going to cause anxiety. But not only that, we're literally, the weight of everything above is crashing down into this core space. So now I'm displacing my stomach organ. I'm affecting my liver, my pancreas. I don't now have the mechanical action of the breath moving up and down. So everything in here is becoming colder. So my gut isn't going to be working properly. My liver's cold. So like butter at room temperature, the fats in there become solid instead of liquid and clog the container. That's going to create anxiety. My pancreas isn't going to be able to control my blood sugar. My aorta comes right through that space. So now my heart has to work harder. So right off the hop, the breath is the key, but the limbs are here to support the alignment of the core so we can support proper breathing. So when I look at people's feet, I always look, okay, there's going to be one foot that's acting like a flat tire. So often it's externally rotated more, toes are pointing away. It's a little further away from midline. Often on that foot, you might have a bunion and there's a pronation. So as this foot starts driving away, whichever side it is, because everybody's different, as it starts driving away, in order for me to not land on my face, my opposite side anchors. So we typically have pain on the opposite backside of the body to the driver's side. So if I have pain in my SI joint on my left side, that right side's going to be driving. It's going to be pulling that left side over, but that left side's going to contract to anchor. And that's causing a war between the two sides of the body and is creating chaos. So what's happening with the fascia is, again, the collagen is what's migrating away to stack, to create that stability. But the more that happens, the colder in general we become. And the colder we are, the slower the flow, the more congested, the more toxic we are, the more the cells are giving us information like, hey, mom or dad, you're asking me to do a job and you're squishing me, or I'm dirty, or I'm hungry, or dehydrated, or exhausted. So I'm giving you impulses of pain, anxiety, whatever that negative symptom is. It's your cell saying, hey, you're expecting me to look good, feel good, do the job, but you're strangling me, essentially. So that's the key. We really need to look at the full body to understand what is causing the pains and the issues where we have them. And they're going to be at a distance from where we feel them. So that's part of this whole work of fascia decompression. It's really understanding that we have to address the body everywhere, because everywhere matters and everywhere counts. But the limbs, hands and feet are truly the biggest factors in the holding pattern of the body that's negative.
And is that typically where you direct people to start in these programs, is in hands and feet and limbs?
The very, very first thing that we do always when bringing people into this is we want to teach them first how to breathe, because the fascia will grip and adhere to bone with a 2000 pound per square inch seal, but it's a magnetic seal. That's crazy to even think about. Like, that's what we're dealing with inside of our body. So even on the rib cage here, again, here's my diaphragm. As I start doing this, I get pulled over, and like a frozen shoulder, I now have a frozen diaphragm. So we always work first in here just to bring that awareness and that release in here so we can start to optimize proper breathing. We feed the body up to 6 times the oxygen when we breathe diaphragmatically. 84% of weight loss comes through proper exhalation. So giving the people the prompt of how to really work in this space first is what we always start with. And then we tend to go down to the core, or the legs and feet, and then the head, neck, and arms. But once we're through that initial starter program where we've taught people how to use the tool, how to navigate pain, how to find your proper breath. Then we bring it all down to the foundation, and we typically start from there and we work our way up through there, as well as the limbs. The core tends to be one of the last areas, though, that we really target when we're when we've passed that first phase and we're starting to get really specific into what's going on in the body.
And what kinds of experiences do people have that maybe surprised you at first, but now you're like, this is what we always expect people, you know, you teach them how to breathe and use the block. And then what's happening for people that might surprise them even around things like anxiety when they're working with this tool and working with their breath?
Well, I guess initially what was so exciting for me is the immediacy of what people feel, because when you start engaging that full exhale, and we really target the exhale as the component of the breathing piece, that's what connects you to that parasympathetic nervous system. We can't heal or feel calm if we're in that sympathetic. And we should be in parasympathetic 80% of our day. Most people are in sympathetic 100% of the day. So right off the hop, people get in and they're like, oh my gosh, I feel taller because now you've released some of that compression. So often after people leave the first class, they're like, as soon as I got into my car, I had to change my mirror. So that's exciting. But what is fascinating to me now, because as I'm like 25 years into this journey and we keep uncovering more and more and more, I've really in the last number of months brought the attention how significant it is to work between the toes, because the toes are the furthest from the engine. So they are the most frozen. So the toes are going to direct how we walk. So if we're not conscious, gravity's winning. Gravity's directing how we go through time. We want these beautiful mechanisms, 26 bones in the feet, and they're here carrying the entire weight of our body through life. Yet, unless we're getting a pedicure, we really pay very little attention to our feet unless they hurt. So I've, in the last, again, number of months, really have my whole community, and everybody can do this right now, and you're going to see the differences. Work between the toes. You want to press and you want to hold with your finger, or you can use a pencil, for 3 minutes between each, to the point where you feel the pain. Because if we don't feel the pain, pain equals adhesion. So if we're just feather touching it, we're not going to do anything. We have to get deep enough. And believe me, though, it won't take much. There's a lot of pain stored in the feet. So 3 minutes between each toe. And then suddenly you have an entirely different alignment of what your toes can do. And I was totally fascinated because I received a photo of one of our members who hadn't got into the blocking piece yet. Just, you know, some people, it takes a little bit of time to get there, right? But she did the toe work for 3 weeks only. The difference, the before and after in her face was, I was shocked. I was like, I can't even believe this. Another gentleman, Walter Kells, I did a YouTube video with him. He shared in my community group not long ago. He had so many changes at the age of 73 on his own body, but he started doing the toe work on his 102-year-old father. And his father had not been walking for a long time, never thought he would again. His legs were really swollen, you know, really red, normally had a size 8 foot, now size 10 because of all that stagnant inflammation. Within 3 weeks, his feet were the size 8, he was walking. So those are those things that just are like, oh my gosh, like it is so profound and impactful. Even a woman sent us an email because we talk about this work on my YouTube channel. So even between the fingers, again, second most important area, what you can do is you can put pressure between each of the fingers this way for 3 minutes. No shortage of pain, but holy smokes, that changes the patterning of the arms. This woman wrote in and shared that after a few weeks of doing just the breathing, the toe and the finger work, her hair stopped falling out. Her hands and her feet were no longer cold. So, you know, it's just absolutely fascinating. Even another lady shared, she had shared this work with her friend who was blind. He was doing the work between his toes, and he always mentioned he had like hooves for toenails. Within 3 weeks, the toenails fell off, and then underneath was new growth. So when we give the body what it needs, the potential for healing and rejuvenation is truly fascinating. We just need to really understand this fascia system and inflammation and all of the things that are natural responses, and not fight those natural responses, but support them. And then we have a very different view of how to navigate time.
You just said that and dropped it in the space like it was not any big deal. What do you... What? Break that down for me. How we navigate time? What?
So there's a time-space continuum. Basically, as we go through time, we decrease in internal space. We age. Compression is aging. So as we start decompressing and understanding that the full exhalation, so again, when we inhale, that plate of muscle moves down. When we exhale, it lifts. The exhale is the counterforce to gravity because every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So here in the body, we have this potential to go through time without accumulating adhesion. So what does that mean for us as we continue to get older and older and older? And more importantly, we can actually dive into the body, melt those adhesions, put the space back into the tissue that was lost through time, and awaken life and rejuvenate. So that's what this work is all about. There's three pillars: create space through the process of the melting, inflate that space through the process of teaching proper diaphragmatic breathing, and then the hardest one and the most challenging part is maintaining that space, because that comes down to habit. So we are built in with these proper postural foundations, but we're lazy people. We don't, and well, and also we haven't really been taught how significant it is. I mean, you're told when you're young, sit up straight, don't slouch, but it's more than that. It's really about, okay, how do we position our bodies and use our body in a natural, balanced way so we don't continue to wind, wind, wind? Like we're getting shorter and wider, shorter and wider. So we want to put the space back and become as tall and aligned as we possibly can. We want to get to the point where, am I right-handed or left-handed? I don't know, because I can use both sides in the same manner. That's that balanced and symmetrical body that is the goal. Again, doesn't matter if we get to that point of perfection. The point is we want to be on that road, because then we have control over how we go through time, as opposed to letting gravity and unconscious living dictate what happens to us.
And as somebody that's firmly in middle age now, right? It's one of the things that I, and I'm sure many people watching are battling, where I'm, I identified as an athlete in my younger years. And as you age, you can hear the thoughts creeping up of like, well, I guess I don't X anymore, right? Like maybe I'm too old to surf, for, you take all the extreme sports out of it. Or maybe I'm too old for this or that. And I know I've been fighting it tooth and nail, and I go to a physical therapist, and it's me and all 70 to 85-year-old people in there at the same time. And I see them, and I'm just so grateful that I started paying attention to this now, because I can see how hard they're fighting against everything that you're talking about, right? And they say the same thing. They're like, you're lucky you're getting into this now, you're lucky you're starting this now, and all the things, all the reasons that I say that I'm there and working on it. And the reason I bring this up is because one of the reasons that I started going to physical therapy was because I was absolutely riddled with plantar fasciitis for like 2 years. And, I had doctors giving me shots and recommending surgery and things like that. And I was like, absolutely not. I'm not going to do surgery on my feet. And so started was really, really excited when you approached us, or when we, coordinated this interview, because I was like, there's got to be something involved in the feet and the fascia that is involved in this, that isn't about just like one muscle being too tight, right?
So I'll give you a challenge. If every day for this week you do the toe work and nothing else, but after you do the toe work, just look in the mirror, stand with your feet together, feet pointing straight ahead under your hips, and then grip the toes into the ground for 10 breaths as your knees are slightly bent. We hyperextended the knees. That's probably one of the most obvious negative postural habits that we as a whole entire world share. We lock our knees when we stand. We need to keep the knees slightly bent, because then we actually support our entire body weight with our muscles instead of allowing, again, the twisting and the turning, and then the ligaments in the joints have to take on the weight instead of the muscles. And the muscles are designed to do this. So if every day you do that and then stand and grip, let's see how your plantar fasciitis feels with
I'm
just
going to
doing
try
the
it. 100% going to try it. Absolutely. And
And I think
then,
what I'm really excited about is all the other changes that also take place as a result of that, not just that.
right, it would probably not only be that. And I'll report back like, oh, this weird thing is happening, and this, and you'll be like, that's not weird at all, actually. It's exactly what I told you was going to happen. And then moving up, from the legs, and we haven't talked, we've talked kind of about limbs, but legs specifically being the bridge between, the feet and the rest of the body. What do you see for people's legs? I mean, even, as we age cardiovascularly, we can have a lot of issues in our legs and all those, IT band issues and hip issues and things like that. We've, people riddled with knee replacement surgeries and things like that. So how does fascia work come into giving us longevity in that respect?
And that's really what that third piece is all about. Because as soon as I hyperextend at my knee, now what I've done is I've taken the joint space away. So again, it's all about space. So whether it's space between the joint or the space between the cell, it's all the same thing. It's taking away space. So now here's my knee. It has all this ability to move. And if there's proper space, the cartilage is nice and healthy. There's synovial fluid lubricating. It's all nice and easy. But as soon as I lock my knee and I allow that flat tire to direct me, now that space is getting turned away, and now we're starting to move on the cartilage, grind down the cartilage. Then the body inflames. If we don't know what to do with that inflammation properly, then it continues to build up and become stagnant. And then down the road, we end up with knee replacements. And that's true of every single joint, even the joints between the spine. Because the same thing here, if we have space, then we have all this opportunity for full mobility. I mean, people like contortionists, you think of what they do and you think, how can they do that? But that is the potential we all have. It's just, I mean, also think of a baby. Here's a baby, you can throw their leg behind their head with ease. So what changes as we get older and we become stiff? We lose internal space. So now try to open a door where you've got some stick in the way and it gets jammed. And that's what happens when we start falling out of alignment. Those adhesions get in the way of the joint space and it displaces the proper alignment. So like the shoulder joint, full range of motion, I should be able to do what I want to do. But if I fall into my core and this is my alignment, it's causing my arm to internally rotate. If I lift my arm up from this alignment, that's as far as I can go. So if somebody's like this and they're like, I have frozen shoulder, and you get the shoulder worked on, that's not going to take care of your frozen shoulder. You've got to bring that rib cage back up to bring that alignment back up. So every single issue in the body, to some degree, if not the greatest degree, really comes down to scar tissue or adhesion blocking flow. Because what happens as soon as there's limitation or injury, the body's like, okay, I'm going to go help. I'm going to send more blood flow. I'm going to inflame. All inflammation is directed blood flow, because the body knows where it needs additional attention. Yet we, as the owner of this container, we need to support those natural responses. So we've been trained to ice an injury, immobilize a painful area, but that's not what we need to do. We need to put energy into the system. Like you wouldn't have a baby and for 48 to 72 hours ignore it when it's just been born. Now we have this injury and we have these cells that are like, scared and open. And now there's all this blood flow because the body knows how to go and rebuild. But we need to support that inflammation through adding energy, not icing and stopping energy. If you think of baking a cake, you have raw ingredients, you mix it together, you have batter. If you put batter in the freezer, you have frozen batter. If you put it in the oven, you bake cake. So the body knows how to rebuild. But if we don't do the right thing, there's a gap. So the second law of thermodynamics, nature abhors a gradient. When there's a gap in the system, nature's going to fill it in. So if the first thing that's going to happen is we'll inflame, if we treat it properly, we will rebuild that space. But if we don't, all of the collagen in the surrounding tissue gets dumped in, like filling in a pothole. But the collagen, when it's stacked, it has no space, no elasticity. So now it becomes this barricade and it's very tight and dense and it doesn't have flexibility. And if that lives with us forever, that becomes a hindrance to blood, so to cells on the other side. So that in itself can start a pattern of movement that can affect us lifelong in a negative way. But the exciting news is we can actually get in there and repattern everything through fascia decompression.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And as you were talking about frozen shoulder, I've been hearing that that's one of the common side effects of like perimenopause and menopause and hormone changes. And then there's, so I think about hormones and where they're produced and serotonin, like 80% of that, when we're talking about like anxiety and mental health issues, 80% of your neurotransmitters are in your gut. And when we're talking about like creating space and creating flow and all of those things, how much of that can be improved by what you're talking about? And all those symptoms mitigated as we, because, as you mentioned, from baby, from somebody said from womb to tomb today, and it cracked me up. But like in the lifespan of our lives, like we're just constantly changing. Our bodies are changing, our, what we need is changing. And so building in practices that help guide us through those changes and give us still a lot of flow and space and longevity is key, right?
Yeah, and I truly believe that if we really understand how to support the fascia and the breath, we can go through time without accumulating age, because all age is the accumulation of compression. We can become older in number, but that doesn't mean we need to become older in tissue. And what is fascinating and also terrifying today, the kids today are older in tissue than than us. They're denser. They are coming into this world with a very different breathing pattern because we are born with our mother's breath. And the mothers of today grew up with technology. They grew up in a very toxic world. They grew up with convenience, different than, I mean, I'm 54. So I grew up with, like, I didn't have a computer until I was like 13 years ago. I was never going to have one, and then I had to change. But the breathing pattern of the babies coming out today has been very, very impacted. And because they're not breathing diaphragmatically, they're developing in a very different way. And you can see it and you can feel it. You can see it in their alignment. You can feel it in the quality of their tissue. They're thicker and they're denser. So already they have far more adhesion, scar tissue, and compression in their body when they're young compared to the older people. So I'm super passionate about getting to the kids for that reason, because this is a solution, but it's a self-care solution. And so you have to make the choice to do it. Nobody can breathe for you. This is to teach you how to use your body in the way God designed it to be driven. So it's the most natural thing for us to do, but we've fallen so far away from balance that we need some help and we need some direction to get there.
Well, and I know you mentioned you've got a bunch of free assets on your YouTube channel and instructions and things like that. So how can people find out more about you and Block Buddy and get started on these practices today?
Well, I have a website, blocktherapy.com. We have a ton of information on there. I also have a YouTube channel. Again, we've got lots of videos discussing things, but we also have a lot of how-to videos using a rolled-up towel showing you this is how to start. This is what to do if you have this or that. So if you dive in and you check out our YouTube channel, you're going to get so much free information. And then we also have a private Facebook community group, Block Therapy Community, that's free for everybody to join. And this is probably one of my most favorite things, because it's people doing the work, sharing their experience. So if somebody has anxiety, fibromyalgia, MS, struggling with size and shape, whatever it is, you can ask the question, and people actually doing the work are going to share their experiences, which is what is most exciting for me.
Absolutely. And kudos to you for creating a place where people can experience peer support, because as we know, that's one of the most transformative practices available.
Absolutely.
Dana, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Megan. It's been a pleasure.